I have always had a great deal of respect and admiration for teachers who teach our children in school. What a great responsibility and what low pay they usually get. I can remember when I started school, 6 years old, and I can name all my teachers except one. In the first grade, I had Miss Rice. Second grade, I had Miss, all of them, Miss Wells, Miss Jones, and Miss Peterson. And I missed the fifth grade, but I forgot her name, but Miss Harris. But this Miss Harris, she taught the sixth grade, and they didn't change rooms. They teach. One teacher teaches 9 months every day, every subject. And Miss Harris, I think she was maybe the first person that got me interested in the Word of God. My parents didn't pay any attention to the Word of God. Let me tell you about Miss Harris. She called us children together in the morning when she got to class and when we get there, settle us down, and then she would say, "We'll begin this day reading the Word of God." Every day, Miss Harris led us in reading the Word of God. The same scripture every day. Psalm 100. I know it. I read it every day, every day. And she said this, "Learn this. Learn this truth, and you'll begin every day the right way." Let's turn to it. Psalm 100. This is Miss Harris's starting of her schoolwork every day. In Psalm 100, let's read it together. Psalm 100. It goes this way. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God? It is He that made us, not we ourselves. And we're His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise, and be thankful. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Well, this is my subject tonight, this is my message, and this is my text. And let's take it verse at a time. First of all, verse 1. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Make a joyful noise. To whom? To the Lord. To the Lord. Because this is my testimony. This is my witness. This is my hope. This is my comfort. This is my joy. The Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Lord. Now, not a God. I'm not just talking about a God. I'm talking about the Lord God. I'm not just talking about somebody up there who likes me. I've seen people do that, you know. I'm talking about the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. Mike just read it. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His. He made it. He formed the dry land. Come! And let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, our Creator, our God, our Savior. And He's not my co-pilot either. I saw that not long ago on the back of a car. God is my co-pilot. Boy, you're in a mess if He's just your co-pilot. He's not my co-pilot. No, sir. And he's not my partner. I've seen that before. God is my partner in this business. No, He's not. He owns it. He's not my partner. He's not my inspiration. He's my God. He's my God. He's my Creator. He's my God. He's my Savior. And David said, He's my Shepherd. He's my Shepherd. And somebody wrote this. He's my Shepherd. And if He's pleased to comfort me or to try me, He's still my Shepherd. And if He's pleased to share me or slay me, He's still my Shepherd. And if He's pleased to hold me close or let me wander, He's still my Shepherd. And if He's pleased to honor me or humiliate me, and I've been in both places, He's still my Shepherd. You know, when young Samuel told Eli that God was going to slay his sons, I think God woke him up and talked to him, and Eli wanted to know what God said, and Samuel wouldn't tell him. Finally, Samuel did. He said, well, God says He's going to kill your boys. You know what old Samuel said? He said, well, son, it's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth good in His sight. Just hang on to that. Son, it's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth good in His sight. So make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands. All ye lands. Now look at verse 2. And serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. You know David's great invocation. We talk about the benediction and the invocation. Here's David's great invocation. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Start out that way. I was glad when He said to me, let's go to the house. David was always glad. I read about it all through the Scripture. He was glad when he was a young shepherd out on the side of the hills taking care of his father's flock. I guess playing his uke or lute or whatever that thing is they used to play a long time ago. He'd play and sing. He was glad. He was glad. And he was glad when all his brothers laughed at him when he went to meet Goliath. He was glad to meet Goliath and conquer him. He was glad. You know what he said to his brothers? Is there not a cause? I'm here on God because God sent me here. There's a cause. I'm glad. He was glad to take the throne from Saul and rule the people. And this was his watchword. He said, I will sing a new song unto thee, O Lord, upon a psaltery and upon an instrument of 10 strings will I in gladness sing praise to Thee. David was glad when he was on that hillside. He was glad when he was conquering God's enemies. He was glad to rule His people. He was glad when he came to die. When he came to die, he said this, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. These were his last words. God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation. And this is all my desire. Let's imitate Him. Let's just take that as our own watchword. He's my God, He's my salvation, and He's my only desire. I went through the Psalms and just picked up these places where David says, I was glad, I was glad, I was glad. Listen to them. Psalm 9:2. He said, I will be glad, O Lord, and I will rejoice in Thee. In Psalm 90, he said, I will be glad, I will rejoice all my days. He said in Psalm 92, Lord, You made me glad. You made me glad with Your work. He said in Psalm 104, I will be glad in the Lord, and my meditation of the Lord will always be sweet. Sweet. Because this is the day the Lord hath made, and we'll be what? Glad. Glad. Just glad in it. All right, let's look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We're His people, we're the sheep of His pasture. It's God who made us. Well, let me tell you something. I'm a man born of woman. I was a man born in sin. I was a man who sinned before God in Adam. And we all fell. I'm a man. What does that mean? Well, God said this. If a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So I'm a man, but I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. I'm a man. That's what we, our faces and consciences tell us, that we are shamed before God. But wait a minute. I'm a man who will one day die. Will that be the end of me? Oh, hang on. Listen. I'm a soul. I'm not only a man, I'm a soul. I have a body. I am a soul. And that soul is me. That's right. Right now, that soul is me. And David said, I restored his soul. I died in Adam, but David said, He restored my soul. In Christ, I live. I'm made alive, and I will never die. Somebody said, Brother Mahan died last night. Don't you believe it? I died a long time ago. But Brother Mahan didn't die last night. He's not going to die next night. He's not going to die ever. He lives in Christ Jesus. I'm a soul. That's me. David said He restored my soul. What does that mean? God restored my soul. Well, I'll tell you. He restored us to eternal life in Christ. Never to die. He restored us to purity. That's right. He is our righteousness, and we are righteous in Him. In the book of Jeremiah, it talks about the Lord Jesus, and it says He is the righteousness. It talks about us and says we are the righteous. That's right. He restored us to purity. He restored us to power. We're kings and priests. They fixed the not another king over our name. He'll never be a king. But you're king. You're king and a priest unto God. And He restored us to sonship. He says right here, we are His people. His sons and daughters, and we bless His name. That's right. We are His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. God wrote a message to all men when He wrote a message to Belshazzar. The Lord wrote a message on the wall to Belshazzar and to all the Belshazzars of the world. And that message was this: Meni, Tikal, Upharsin. What's that mean? Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Weighed in the balances and found wanting. Every son of Adam is weighed in the balance, and we're nothing. We're nothing. But the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. To Belshazzar, He said, you're weighed and wanting. I'm not weighed and I'm not wanted. I'm not in want. That's right. And I found this somewhere. I want you to listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd. He restored my soul, and I'll never want. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll never want. I shall not want. Now watch this. I may be the weakest sheep in the fold, but I'll not want. I may wander and I may stray, and I have, but I won't want. I may not have all that I wish or all that I desire, but I do not want. He supplies every need. I'm going to go old and feeble. In fact, I'm already there. Old and feeble. I told Paul, I said, keep this thing high so I can see. Can't hear and can't see, but I can feel His love and mercy. That's right. I may go old and feeble, but I shall not want. I may endure pain and sorrow. I don't know what waits our future. I do not know. I've got two good friends now, real close friends. One can't speak above a whisper. He's got Parkinson's disease. J.D. Butler. I have another one that's just very, very... He's same age as I am. He's just celebrating his birthday. He's 85. I'm 84. But He has to wait. His wife has to wait. She has to tie his shoes. She has to put the clothes. She has to take him to the bathroom. He can't do anything. I may grow old and feeble, but I'll not want. He'll supply my needs. I may endure pain and sorrow, but I shall not want. And I may walk the valley of the shadow of death, but I'll not want. And to prove that, listen to what God says. I shall not be ashamed. He says that over and over. We shall not be condemned. We shall not be confounded. We shall not be sent away empty. And we'll never hear the Lord say, depart from me. I never knew you. You won't ever hear that. That's right. Old Job said this. He said this. Write this in a book. Write it on the rock. Write it in the lead forever. The Lord is my keeper, and I shall not want. Write it down. All right, let's look at verse 4 here. I'll help you here a little bit with this from Mr. Spurgeon. He did a good job on this. I went and borrowed one of your books and got that Treasure of David and got his outline on this. He says in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. What are His gates? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. That's into His presence. Into His presence. Now the sacrifices are ended. That's true. But thanksgiving is not out of date. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is never out of date. The Old Testament sacrifices are. As long as we receive His mercy, we should give Him our thanks. You know, those are two notable sayings. It just means an awful lot, both of them are notable sayings. Thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And you know what the second is? I'm sorry. That's never out of date. It's never out of date. I'm thankful. About, 35 years ago, I met a new missionary. And he came and spoke at the church, and he needed some money. He needed some help. And he wanted to buy some land for a church and things like that. So one of our young men and his wife came up to me after service and said, I'd like to help that man. And I said, well, what do you got in mind? He said, we've got a little savings account of $4,000. Now, this is 35, 40 years ago, $4,000. I said, all of it? Let's send all of it to him. Well, they sent it. And the time passed, the weeks passed, the months passed. And I asked him one day, did he ever thank you? Never. Not a word. Not a word. I'm thankful. Thank God for everything and thank you for being my friend. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm sorry. That's a pretty good word too. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't thank you. it's never out of date. He says, come into his gates with his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts. What are his courts? Mr. Spurgeon said this. That's the inner court. That's the inner court. That's within the veil. That's open to believers now. That's right. The scripture says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into within the veil, where our forerunner, Christ Jesus, entered for us, even Jesus, our great high priest. Enter his presence, his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts. Praise God. Praise God. And then he said this, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts, his inner courts with praise, and be thankful, and bless his name. Bless his name when he gives and when he takes away. That's right. Bless him when he gives and bless him when he takes it away. That's what Job said. The Lord gave and the Lord took it away. And when he does, you bless him. You thank him. Don't pout. Don't fret. Just thank God. Bless him when he gives. Bless him when he takes it away. For it's the Lord who gives. It's the Lord who takes it away. In his own time. In his own time. Now, let's see here, verse 5. The Lord's good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. His mercy, His truth. Let's look at Psalm 85 a minute. Turn to Psalm 85. Let me read this over here. Psalm 85, verse 7 through 10. Psalm 85, verse 7 through 10. You got it? Show us Thy mercy, O Lord. Grant unto us Thy salvation. I will hear what the Lord God will speak, for He will speak peace unto the people and to His saints, and let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in the land. So mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And Spurgeon said this, these four divine attributes, mercy, truth, righteousness, peace, all were parted when Adam fell. All gone. Mercy, truth, righteousness, and peace, all gone. And there's no religion on earth which can satisfy the demands of mercy, truth, righteousness, and peace. But all four of these, look at verse 10, mercy and truth, righteousness, and peace have kissed each other. They're all parted when Adam died, and they were all given to his people when Christ Jesus died. That's where it is. Mercy and truth, righteousness and peace are all richly met in our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of grace, in whom we stand complete. My friend, Brother Barnard, Tim just mentioned Barnard's tapes and all. My friend, Brother Barnard, I met him when he was 47 years old and I was 24. I was pastor of the church at Ashland and Rob came to preach. And we'd been friends all those. If Barnard was living, he'd be 105. Can you believe that? 105 years old. But anyway, he used to give the best illustrations. I thought your pastor is excellent at illustrating. But this guy Barnard, he just makes everything like that writer, Jim Harriet. He makes everything so real, so vivid. But Barnard was 25 years old. About the age I was when I met him. He's 25 years old and he was in Louisville Seminary, not Louisville, but Southwestern Seminary, studying to be a preacher. And he was quite a preacher. And somebody invited him out to a little country church. Out to a little country church to preach Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And so Wife went out there, and there was a family, the Burks. He was a farmer, and his wife was a wonderful lady. She loved the gospel. He didn't. She went to the Lord's house. He didn't. But Barnard came to town. And somebody said one time, when he came to town, something always happened. But anyway, Mr. Burke, Barnard used to call him Old Brother Burke. I've heard him tell that story 100 times. Old Brother Burke. He never went to church. And so his wife was getting ready for church that Friday night. And he said, I believe I'll go to church with you. She said, you serious? He said, yeah, I think, I've heard about that preacher. And said, I want to go and see what he says. And so they got the buggy out. This is back in 1930. He got the buggy out, and he and his wife got in the buggy, and they went to the church. And everybody was surprised to see Burke there. But he went in, sat down, and Barnard preached. When the service is over, he got up and skied out loud. Sat down in that buggy by and sat waiting on his wife. And she came out after a while and sat down. He said, don't ever ask me to come back to church. Don't ever ask me. That man, he started in on me. And he just went something awful for the whole service. I got up and walked out after he finished. I'll never come back. Well, Saturday night, he got all his work done and he came in. He said, you going to church? She said, you said you were never going back. Well, I said, he talks pretty good and I think I'll go listen to him one more time. One more time. So he went. Same thing. He came out, got in the buggy. He said, don't ever ask me to go back again. Don't ever ask me to come back and hear that man again. But he's pretty interesting.
So the next morning, they got their breakfast. Barney told me about it. They got their breakfast. And she's feeling bad. Feeling real bad. And he said, "You going to church?" She said, "I don't think I can make it. I just feel so bad. I'm sorry. I just can't go." He said, "I'm going." "You're going to church by yourself?" "By myself. I'm going. I'm going to listen to him one more time. One more time." So he went back. And Barnard had a lot of liberty to preach the gospel. And he got to the end of his message. Old Brother Burke stood up, started down the aisle, tears streaming. Fell down on his knees in front of the pulpit, said, "Preacher, I'm lost. Pray for me. I need the Lord." And they had a great time. Just a great time there. Everybody rejoicing, and the Lord brought one of his people home, saved his soul. Now, that'll happen when God, the Holy Spirit, moves in the heart of a man. He may hate it, but he'll love it. He'll love it. And so he got in his buggy and started home. And he told Barnard, he said, on the way home, he said, "I could hear the wind blowing through the pine trees. And it seemed to be saying, 'Glad you're saved, Brother Burke. Glad you're saved.'" He said, "I passed this old waterfall near our house, and the water falling over the rocks, and it seemed to say, 'Glad you're saved, Brother Burke. Glad you're saved.'" And he put the buggy up and put his house, his horse in the stall, and started walking up the path and up the steps and opened the door. And his wife said, "Lord saved you, didn't he?" He said, "How'd you know?" She said, "I heard you singing when you came from the buggy walking down the pathway. You singing 'Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found and blind, but now I see.'" That's the Lord's dealing. You know, preaching, somebody said that preaching may make a man religious, but only God can make him saved and believing Christ. That's God's work. And God's work does that through preaching the gospel. What we're trying to do, what Paul does every Sunday, what the Lord's raised up a lot of men to do. I hope that's a blessing to you. Thank you, Pastor.
Let's turn to hymn number 80. And let's stand together. We're going to sing this to the tune of "Angels from the Realms of Glory." Hymn number 80.